and touch both ends almost. His real little, like I said, they had about 10. And they is inviting their center children to come. They was coming. One night, when I used to sing a lot, I'd sung a song and I was sweating again. And boy, it's hot in there, no air conditioning, a little cramped up, you know, little building. And I remember I didn't know there was a short in the microphones. I had no idea. But I thought what I'd do is tell everybody to raise their hands and praise God while I switch mics. And boy, you know, the sweat was just going. And I said, everybody raise your hands and praise God. And while they all stood up, I thought I'd hurry up and get rid of that mic and grab that one. So it's close enough, I had this one in that socket and I had a hold of that one. And it juiced me big time. When it did, you talk about carrying on. I can remember, finally, I mean, you can't hardly turn loose or something like that. I was trying to throw it down. Finally, I was going, and I finally threw that mic down, busted the mic. I threw that thing down. I was going, whoo, whew. And then I realized, man, I'm in church. And I looked around, and them 10 or 15 folks was going berserk. They was running the aisles and dancing and shouting, speaking in tongues. I'm not kidding you. I'm telling a fact. So you know what I did, Brother Bridges? I thought, what to do here? I said, let's just go on, praise God, obey the Lord. Broke out in a mighty revival. It'd be good. You know, you say, now, brother, that's silly, telling something. Well, it's the truth. But you know what? Some of our dead, dry preachers need to be shocked. Some of them so dead and so dry. They wouldn't, their crowd wouldn't know what to do if some of them said, oh. The crowd would pass out if some of them said, woo, or glory, or oh my Lord. They wouldn't know what to do if they saw it. I feel like going around and juicing some of them and just walking up and putting a spark on them. Amen. You may say it's unconventional, and this is the year 2001, ain't it? 2001, and they don't do it like they did in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Brother, it worked back then. It'll work today. This is a real thing. Praise God. This is right. Somebody say amen. Woo! It's still in order to run the aisles. Still in order to dance in the Spirit. It's still in order to shout. I still believe in the 9 spiritual gifts. I still believe in the power of God. Woo! Praise God. We're just following the wrong thing. Amen. I didn't have to come to Broxton. I don't know what you believe before I got here. I come because I believe it too. Amen. I believe it. This is a bunch I want to run with. I done made up my mind. This is my crowd. Amen. I'm gonna try to hurry. I don't know how much time I got, but I know it's got to be limited. But I know in 2 Kings, when the prophet Elisha wanted to follow somebody, he picked Elijah, or Elijah picked him. I guess he did. When I was reading it last night, all Elijah did was just go throw his mantle over him. And he jumped up and said, if you give me time, go back and kiss mom and daddy bye, fix them back to eat, so I'll be back to follow you. He said, well, I didn't tell you to do nothing. I don't know who picked who, really. I mean, he said, I didn't tell you to follow me. But he did. He went back, kissed his mom and dad, and he made a meal, fed them, and then the Bible said he came and started following Elijah. Elijah, why would you follow a guy like that? As you was talking about Ahab, he'd look him right in the eye and he'd say, you got the thing in a mess. He'd say, no, you're the guy that's got it messed up. That's what they're telling us today. You're the problem. No, we ain't the problem. They're the problem. Amen. Somebody say amen. You know what? Elijah, he'd look Ahab right in the face. He didn't care. Amen. He was a mighty man of God. But when Elisha started following him, he never turned loose. Man, if you're an evangelist and you've got a good pastor, grab a hold of that guy and don't turn him loose. Amen. You got great preachers like these. You don't have to. I know we got other great men. I'm not saying that. But you don't got to jump the pond to get some formal a preacher down the road in another association or fellowship that don't preach what you believe, that ain't got no faith in you, that thinks you're crazy, just because he might look a little more dignified, don't jump the pond. Use these guys. Amen. I'd rather have any one of these men preach for me as to have those guys. Elisha didn't turn loose. You know the story. I could go into it and take a lot of time, but I think everybody knows. You're to turn back. Somebody may look and say, well, Brother Bridges ain't never had any pressure. Don't you believe it? Oh, he's told you. No, he hadn't even told me. He didn't have to. I know he's been pressured. You say, well, Brother Morgan hadn't. He said he is 73 and been in this a long time. That don't matter. I guarantee you a lot of times in his ministry that somebody said, I'll come to your church and I'll pay my tithe if you didn't preach on this, that, or the other. Amen, brother. Any of you brothers in here, praise God, they've had to stand the test. Oh, glory. I heard Brother Dean saying last night about Brother Bridges. He said, to me, he's an elder. You know, I followed him and so on. I've heard Brother Bridges say about some of you, when I come on the campgrounds, a lot of you, I can't remember your name, but he'd say, see that guy? Oh, he'd say, that man right there said, I followed him. That man, boy, he's telling about what a preacher he was. Brother Bridges said, see that man? You've heard me talk about him, ain't you? You've heard me talk about him. He started pointing three or four or five of them out, Brother Morgan. And he said, boy, you talk about a preacher. Ain't able to preach much now, but you talk about a preacher. You talk about a great man. Hey, he wasn't showing me the millionaires of the day and those running 2,000 in their churches. But he said, there's a man knows how to pray, Brother Miller. There's a man knows how to preach. There's a man that walked with God. And that's why Brother Bridges is preaching under the anointing that he's got. Hey, brother, we got some young men here. I hope if time tarries that they preach greater than any of these fellas did. I do. There ain't a jealous bone in my body. I promote them. Amen. But you know what? If we don't set forth an example, they won't. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm going to close in just a couple minutes, but Elisha followed Elijah. And when the Lord asked him, Elijah asked him, what do you want? He said, what I want is a double portion of what you got. Man, that guy wasn't selfish. He just had his mind made up. They said, I not only believe what you believe, I not only want what you got, I want twice as much as you got. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Let me tell you right now, my friend, I want what they got and a little bit more if I can get it. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, he said, you ask a hard thing, but if you see me, when I'm taken, you can receive it. Say, brother, how in the world could you stand up there and say that these young preachers could ever amount to what these men are? Well, I think they can. Jesus even said, greater works than these shall you do. Amen. And you know the story, how that when he rent his own clothes and then looked and saw Elijah's mantle, he bounded up and went to the waters. I think it was because he's following the example. He'd seen that happen before. He had saw that other man of God do it. And he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And maybe no answer came out of heaven, but he got an answer because the waters parted. Woo! Glory to God. He had seen his mentor do the same thing. And he said, I'm going to see if it'll work for me. I seen him do it and he smote the waters. Oh, glory to God. Try it, try it, try it, try it. This thing is real. Amen. I seen them old saints shout to victory. I believe it's real. Lord, let the Holy Ghost, let it breathe on me. I'm ready. My mama many times when I was a boy, she used to embarrass me, Brother Bridges. I'm sure you and your wife could remember a few times at least her doing it, because it was common when she was younger, when the church doors would open. I told you she fasted and prayed all the time. We didn't need four songs or three songs from mama. It really didn't. And many times we walk in the door and I think, oh God, please don't let mama do that tonight. I was embarrassed at that time. I'm proud of it now. open up the door, Mom take about two steps, and Mama kind of give one of these shouts, and she had a loud voice. And Mom and Dad, she go, "Woo! Glory to God." Folks would look back at her, it's just 20 after 7. Mom didn't care. She was ready to go to church. I've seen her start the service shouting. Then I look at some of them old saints of God be up there shouting with her. But I'll tell you what, we didn't have to pray a half hour to get it going. We didn't have to pray a half hour to get it going. Somebody say amen. It ought to be like that old boy was. I was preaching a revival in Detroit and was there at Michigan a few years, well, many, many now years ago. And this boy, I preached about the Holy Ghost two or three nights in a row. And one night I said, there's no reason for you not to have the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. It's a promise. You can have it. Well, I thoroughly convinced this one young man, probably in his late teens or early 20s. I had him convinced. I said, tomorrow night when you come, you just come with your mind made up. You're going to get the Holy Ghost. So I convinced him, I guess, or the Lord had or something. We got church. It's about 5:10 after 7. Church starts 7:30. It's me, my wife, the pastor, and his wife, and that young man. He walked up and said, "I'm ready." Pastor said, "Yeah, me too, brother. We're going to have a good one tonight." No, he said, "I mean, I'm ready right now." Well, he said, we'll get started directly. He said, "I want it right now." He said, "Well, brother, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. He said, well, just excuse me. He walked down, and we was up kind of talking, me and the pastor and our wives. He walked down there, stood at the altar. He said, "God, fill me with the Holy Ghost right now." Pastor said, "Well, I reckon we ought to go pray for him." I said, "I guess." We went up there, and before we could get to him, brother, he was slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Power of God. Amen. Needless to say, there was no introductory prayer that night. We didn't need one. Folks is coming in quarter after, and this old boy's rolling and shouting and carrying on. What's wrong with him? Somebody else come in. What's happened to him? Somebody sick? Is he praying for somebody? No, he's got the Holy Ghost. But brother, you talk about an explosive revival. It wasn't me. I didn't preach over two or three nights. That boy shouted a revival out. He did. He'd come in shouting, he'd leave shouting, shouting halfway through the service. He had everybody else running the aisles and shouting. Just a young boy, but everybody was following him. It's like the Pied Piper. He'd jump up and take off running. Somebody come after him. Woo! You ever see, did they ever run in Georgia? Amen. Sometimes up home they'll run. And usually if one takes off, look out. We had a service a while back. I'm talking too much. I wish I'd preach instead of talk. But one time we had a service a few years ago, and we got this boy in our church. He's mentally handicapped, but he's got more sense than a lot of folks got. You know what I mean? He's probably 30 anyway, 29, 30. And anyhow, his name's Wayne Overton. And Wayne, he likes it when folks shout. One night we had a running service. Now usually, back then when they was a little more vibrant, my boy and Dwayne and Doug and a few of them, there's our designated runners. If something got high, look out, there they went. One went, about 6 or 8 went. So old Wayne Overton, he wanted to run back. His mom wasn't going to let him run, you know, because he wasn't really retarded, but he was mentally, you know, problems. And boy, I tell you what, one night they got to run, and I looked back, I said, "Oh, here we go. Here we go." I see his mommy had her hands in the air, her dog took Wayne Overton. He looks over, and he started inching out for mom. They made another lap, and he inched again. About third lap around church, here goes Wayne. He's running out there, and I seen his mama sitting through for him and said, "Catch him! Catch him!" He was an elusive runner. He wasn't as fast as the rest, but brother, he could run just like this down that aisle. So help me, I'm telling the truth. He'd run when he'd see one go to grab him, he'd dodge him. He'd run some more and one go to grab him, he'd dodge him. He is running and dodging all through that service. Finally, I looked back and I said, "Leave him alone! Leave him alone." Amen. I'll tell you what, when he seen they was going to leave him alone, brother, he cranked it in the high year. He went to running around that church. He had himself a ball. After service, he come up. He said, Brother Miller said, I hope I didn't embarrass nobody. He said, but something got in my feet, and I just felt like running. Amen. Oh, his mom said, Brother Miller, I'm sorry. I said, I wish some of these folks here that's really, really smart would have took off running. Some of these folks that thinks they're really smart, I wish they'd have took off running. Woo! Somebody help me preach today. Thank God for the Holiness Church. Thank God for jumping up and down and shouting and praising God and tongue talking. I've not outgrown talking in tongues. I've not outgrown shouting. Woo! You who I think you are. Man, Danny, I didn't know you. Your hair. And I don't see well without my glasses. I looked over and I said, so help me, I believe it's Danny Cassidy. Hey, man. Had to get close. Now I know why. See, he's from up home. You can tell he's from home. He's backing me up. Thank you, brother. Amen. Praise God. We need to follow. I'm going to try to close here. The disciples, Jesus told them to be followers. You know, you can never lead until you learn to follow. A lot of our churches, we got folks who want to lead that have never learned to follow. If you learn to follow, you can be a good leader. Amen. The disciples, they followed in three different stages. The first time we see the disciples, they followed him as simple believers. First you see them, they accompanied Jesus to the marriage of Cana. Just see them a little bit there. Then you see them a little bit the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, not much. Then you see him as he goes through Samaria to Galilee, into the southern regions of Galilee. Then the second stage of their fellowship with Christ, they begin to assume an uninterrupted attendance of his person. I mean to tell you, brother, they made up their mind that they wouldn't occasionally be with him, but they're going to stay with him. That's what Elisha said, I'm going to stay with him. These disciples quit saying, hey, I was there when he turned that water into wine. I was there when John the Baptist done thus and so. And they just said, I'm going to stay right there. Amen. It caused them the abandonment of their secular occupations. Or to put it in common language, they quit their jobs. Amen. They left their nets. Isn't that what the Bible said some of them done? There was four that was named there when they first left their occupations, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And then the third stage of their fellowship was when, and I like this, they didn't go into full, total, complete discipleship following until they heard the words from the founder of faith. Hey, that's what I'm preaching on, whose faith follow. Amen. They heard the founder of faith say, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. And the Bible said they followed. Not a big statement. He just said, follow! And they said, yes, sir. They started following. I'm going to brag a little on this evangelist here if I can. Brother Dwayne Cornett, he's my son-in-law's brother and my son's best friend. He was my youth pastor for 8 years. Now, I'm not just saying this to help him. I'm telling you the truth. I've said it behind his back. I said, you know one thing I like about that boy? Not that he lives a good life. He does. He's very talented. He can sing and play anything. He's a good preacher. And my youth pastor, I said, for 8 years, got a good wife and children. His mom is one of the best women in my church. But forget all of that. Brother Bridges, I've told you probably this in secret before. I mean by ourselves. Brother Dwayne, when he started in the ministry, Brother Dwayne from the very start has been a good follower. I've never had, and I can't say this about everybody, I've never one time had him to say, scoot back, let me get my foot ahead of you. Never. I've never heard him say, that's not the way I want to do it, Brother Miller, with the youth. Never. I've never had Brother Wayne ever be untrustworthy. I trusted him when I left my church, when I had four or five older preachers I didn't trust. And he's trustworthy. Somebody said about Brother Wayne, he knows it, so it ain't going to offend him. One of them said one time, said, "You've heard of teacher's pet, baby." Said, "Brother Dwayne Cornett said he's a pastor's pet." I said, "I don't deny it." I said, "When you get so you do anything I say, you'll go visit the sick." I'm not talking about being a puppet on a string. I'm talking about if I call him and say, "Wayne, I can't go to the hospital. Will you go?" He'd say, "Who is it and what hospital?" I call and say, "Wayne, I'm fasting and praying over something. I'm real worried about it." He'd say, "Brother, I'll help you fast. What are we praying about?" That's what I'm talking about. Amen. When I preach, you know, I told my preachers, I don't know if you guys like this. I told my preachers, I said, if one of these guys are preaching and it's their second sermon, and I see you back there clipping your fingernails and going through a songbook, I said, God better be speaking to your heart, because if he ain't, I said, you ain't preaching. When somebody else up preaching, I want you, if you can't do no more than do this, you better throw a hand up or do something. Don't let me look at you and catch you. Amen. I got some, you know, they yawn, and when they're up, it's like, everybody praise God. Somebody stand up. Somebody get with me. And then when you preach, they don't do nothing. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Come on, somebody. Probably don't happen in Georgia. It's bad up home. I don't like it. I flat out told him, I said, when I preach, if I'm dead at 4 o'clock, you better at least yawn real big. Amen. Amen. I'm serious about it. Praise God. Get up and do something. There's an old man down on Eastern Avenue in downtown Cincinnati. He's dead now. I started revival there in 1975 in November and went through January, all through Christmas. And this old guy, I never heard him say praise God, amen, or hallelujah one time. But you knew if you was preaching okay, because he'd do this. You preach, and if you're doing good, he'd go. Brother Smith. And if you was really anointed and the power was falling, Brother Smith would go. I have to tell you, that was good. That meant you was in, brother. If you ever seen Brother Smith doing that, you had it. I told my church a while back that, and one old guy, I wasn't doing too good preaching, and I looked real right at one guy right now, and he went, I said, well, it's better than nothing. Praise God. Somebody say amen. We used to have them baptismal services. Now, I will confess, I hope y'all don't follow up with me. I do have a baptistry in the church. But I'll tell you, we used to go to them rivers. I'll never forget. I can't swim a lick. Hey, what time is it, brother? Tell me. Come on. Now, I can be long-winded. You better tell me what time it is. I'll try to hush. And I was going to quit 2 minutes. 10 minutes ago. But anyway, I was baptizing some fella, Brother Bridges, in the Little Miami River. Why they call it little, I don't know. They had big drop-offs. I can't swim a lick. And I remember I'd always send somebody out ahead of me to poke around. And I'd follow them like this, feeling the whole time. And we went out there and was having this water baptism. Somebody was telling me a while back, said, oh, thank God for baptistries. I got one. So thank God we don't have to go to them old muddy rivers anymore. Well, I like the baptistries. It's okay. I didn't even want to baptize them when I first took that church. I said, let's leave that thing and go to the creek. Nobody hardly let you use a creek or river anymore at home. But anyway, I said, hey, I like them rivers. I remember that day. We got out there, you know, and they got singing, playing them guitars over there on the bank. We got to shouting and praising God. Baptized one woman that was, you can look at me, and she was bigger than me. Now, I'm telling you, she was a good-sized lady. And we baptized her and lost her. I'm serious. She come out of that water, and she pushed off with her feet, I reckon. Looked like she wasn't doing a backstroke, but that's kind of what it looked like going through there. Just floated down there. I'm telling you the truth. On her back. And that other brother looked at me and said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. Go get her. He just turned around and said, bless her, Lord. Bless her, Lord. She floated a few feet, swam her way back to shore. Said, man, that's kind of goofy. Wouldn't it be better having a baptistry? No, you know why? I didn't know it, and there's some old beardy-faced, long-haired guy smoking a big old cigar with a fifth of whiskey coming down on the other side of the little Miami River in a canoe. I didn't even know he was there. I would have went after that sister, but I figured she was on her own. I couldn't swim. You know, she's in deep water. And anyway, but you know, just to show you where you think that's kind of goofy or silly, let me show you what it done. That old boy wrenched hold and grabbed a tree limb and grabbed a rope and tied on. Threw his bottle of booze in the river and threw that cigar out and dove in the water and come squalling and crying to the middle of that river saying, God, save me. Beard down to here, hair down to there, looked like he hadn't had a bath in a solid year. One brother looked at me and said, he said, save me, Lord. He said, preachers, will you baptize me? That brother said, what are we going to do, Brother Miller? I said, do you feel like God saved you? He said, yes. He said, I heard the singing way up the river. And I heard the quoting the scriptures. And he said, my mind went back. You wouldn't think this 40 or 50-year-old hippie-looking, dirty, boozing, cigar-smoking guy knew anything about the gospel. But Brother Daniel, come here and say, you know what he told me? He got right up in my face, put one arm around me. He said, preacher, my mama used to shout. My mama used to pray. My mama used to act like that. He said, oh, he said, mom's been dead for several years, and I haven't heard anything like this when I was coming down the river. He said, God, if they're still there when I get there, and you'll have mercy, and if you'll save me, I'll get baptized. I said, let's put him under. We baptized that old boy. He shouted all over the water with long hair and a beard. And about two services later, a nice-looking man come to church with a shave and a haircut, looked good. He said, don't you remember me? I said, no, sir. He said, I was the guy in the boat. Woo! You know what? If it hadn't been for that old-fashioned praying mother of his, he might not ever got saved. And if we'd have been on the riverbank being formal, he still might not have got saved. Woo! Thank God, Brother Danny, that somebody praised God. And somebody shouted, and somebody rejoiced, and that old boy got saved. Amen. So, if you want to get on the riverbank and be dead and dry because you don't want to be offensive to somebody, go ahead. Go ahead. You may never win nobody to God. They come to my church a while back. No, I shouldn't say a while. It's been probably 4 or 5 years. And one, I had somebody else scheduled to preach. One of the boys in my church. I made a mistake that night. Somebody come to me and said, who's preaching tonight? Did ever do that, you pastor? Who's preaching tonight? Well, he is. He said, oh, I wish you'd preach. I said, well, I kindly told him, oh, brother, said, I've invited this man to come. He don't know nothing about Pentecost. He don't know nothing about holiness. And this one young preacher in my church, he's a hide buster extraordinaire. You know what I mean? He said, I know good and well he'll never come back. So that guy will preach on everything that moves and try to rustle up some other things to get him to move so he can preach on them. And he said, he'll run, shout, and slobber and carry on. He said, I sure wish you'd preach. He said, I begged him for 2 years. Well, I shouldn't have, but I kind of give in to him. I went over and asked that young boy, I said, would you mind if I preach tonight? No, brother, no. You go ahead. I said, I'll preach any night. I wish I turned him loose. But so help me, don't you know? I went up there thinking, I'll just preach John 3:16. This guy don't know nothing about the gospel. I'll preach a simple salvation message. I started out with John 3:16. I got to kicking and slobbering and hitting everything that moved and rustling up some that wouldn't move. I looked over and there was that young preacher just a squalling and a squealing behind me. Well, preach it, brother, preach it, brother. I thought, my God, have mercy. He couldn't have done no worse than me tonight. I mean, I hit everything that moved. And that, you know what? That guy came down the aisle and prayed and prayed and prayed. Church was over. That guy went to him and said, "Boy, I sure am glad you come to church tonight. I'm glad you come tonight. I'm glad that you glad my pastor preached." He said, "Well," he said, "I'm glad he obeyed the Lord." He said, "Oh, I didn't know you knew anything about Pentecost." He said, "I was raised in this." What are you talking about? Ain't no sense being ashamed. If Bush came walking in here, I'd probably start saying God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. Amen. Wouldn't bother me, none. I shout right in front of him. It don't bother me. Are you ashamed of this? It's the power of God unto salvation. Whose faith follow or imitate their life. I heard Ralph Horton one day get to preaching, and when he was preaching, how many knows Bill Wyatt? Some of you know Bill Wyatt? Have you ever heard him go, "Ha ha! Ha ha ha!" Well, one day, Brother Horton got to preaching. He may have said it other times, but I heard him this one time. Somebody said they heard him somewhere else say it. But I heard him. He got preaching. He stopped right in the middle, and he started going, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." And he stopped. He said, "I know some of you saying, Brother Horton ought not do that because Brother Wyatt does that. Don't you imitate him." And Brother Horton said, "Why can't I imitate him? He's a man of God. And that's a real spirit of God." And you know what? I don't know if you heard Brother Horton say it a different time, but that night he said it in the meeting I was in. He just reared back and started going, "Ha, ha, ha!" And that's it. He didn't have to sing "My Sweet Jesus," give him the praise. He didn't have to finish his text. He just started going, "Ha, ha, ha, ha!" Nobody else said that, but they went to crying, shouting, dancing, praising. I looked around, I thought, man, all he's doing is saying, "Ha, ha, ha." Place went wild. "Ha, ha, ha." Running around that place and dancing in the spirit. Brother Horton's a great man of his own right. He don't have to follow nobody. I don't mean it like that, but what he was saying is, Brother Wyatt's a good example. Hey, man, if he can do it, I can do it. Oh, glory to God.
Well, I got about 10 more things to say, and I don't need to say
it. We have got some good examples. We may not have Paul Ely anymore, but we got Neil Bridges. We may not have Brother C.M. Butler anymore, but we got Leon Buzzard. We may not have some of those other great men like Chester Shell, but we got Daniel Dean. Amen. We got Brother Morgan over here and other great men that's here. Thank God for these mighty men. I just want to ask you. I'd like to ask you. Come on, let's follow.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
I like to follow you, Brother Bridges. Amen. I can't go to your next revival. I'm going to go to 2 or 3, though. I'm coming to Richlands, the Lord's will. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to preach what you preach. I think I'll just stick with what you got. You know, it was hard for me to call you that night. It was really hard because I didn't know this man. Now, Brother Bridges has been telling me 2 or 3 years, you got to meet Brother Daniel Dean. He said, "I just think you guys would like each other." And I did meet him that year. And I hadn't thought about him another time. That's the truth. I just hadn't thought. And I remember that night I was driving down the road and my son was in a car. And I said, "I'm Paul off the side of the road here, man." Oh, we just prayed about 3 or 4 minutes. He said, "What's wrong, Dad?" I said, "Man, I've got this burden on my heart so heavy." I said, "I can't call him. I don't even know him." Went home, prayed for him that night. Got the next day, he was on my mind. I prayed for him again for about 3 days. And I finally said, "I've got to call him." You know, and I told him, I said, after I talked with you, after about a week, I said, "That just left me. I felt like whatever, you know, the Lord just wanted me to pray, you know." And I did. And I felt so good about it, praying like that. Well, you might say, "That's kind of goofy." Well, I'm glad I obeyed the Lord. I wish some people would obey the Lord. Do you know the first time I ever met L.D. Moore, what he did? I thought he was crazy. Hope he don't get this tape. I did. I thought he was. I ain't going to kid you now. I was, like I told you, I just met Brother Rich on an accident. And I was revival there at his church in Norman. And anyway, I remember Dovey George came to that revival. And come to that revival, I later got to preach for him there. Was it Blanchard? Yeah. And Ross Waller at Amber. When he was at Amber. And some of them churches. But I remember I'd met several of them. He said, "Have you ever met Brother L.D. Moore?" I said, "No, never heard of him." "You ain't ever heard of L.D. Moore?" I said, "No." He said, "You'll know him when you see him." What's that supposed to mean? We're sitting in church. Do you remember how Norman Church, they had them, they used to have them mourners' benches? You remember what I'm talking about? And anyway, we was there, and this guy come walking in about 10 minutes late. He sat down about halfway through the church. And about 3 minutes or 4 minutes he'd been there, and I still didn't know who he was. I heard him go, "Whoop!" He run up, and he jumped on that mourners' bench, turned around and looked at the guy, and I could call his name, but I do know a few preachers would know him, so I won't call his name. But he pointed his finger right at him. He said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "If your mother and daddy knew what you was doing, how you was living, how you was acting, they'd turn over in their grave. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself." I looked over and I thought, who is that wild man? What's he doing? I'm serious. I thought, who is he? You know, I thought, if I'd done that, I'd have got a whipping probably. That guy would come up and punch me. You know what he did? Son, he just humbled down and cried like a big old baby. Brother Moore pointing his finger, just letting him have what for, buddy. Just let him have it. He said, "I'm ashamed of him." He said, "Get up out of that seat and come down this aisle and pray and quit carrying on." Son, he got up, come down and pray. Brother Rich come over, put his arm on me. He said, "That's Brother Moore." I said, "Good Lord. Amen." But now, what's that been? 1976, 25 years later? If he come walking in right now and done it, when he jumped up, I'd probably jump up too. So I know him, you know. Hey, I'm not ashamed of Brother Moore. Are you? I like it. Somebody say amen. Praise God. I like it. Give us some more. What are we going to do when these men are gone? I hope somebody picks up the torch. Them boys in World War II that goes to my church, they talked about when they was on the battlefield over there in Iwo Jima, one of the men goes to my church, was right there, and he said he remembered seeing a flag fall. He said, "Brother," he said, "I'm telling you," he said, "I threw my rifle down and picked up that American flag and ran through with that." He said, "Ran through." I said, "Wasn't you thinking about not fighting back?" He said, "All I thought of through my training was, don't let that flag hit the ground. Don't let that flag." I said, "Oh, Brother Bob, I'd have been terrified." You know, Brother Collette, I said, "I'd have been terrified to drop my gun." He said, "I wasn't even thinking about it." He said, "The flag was on the ground. And I picked it up and said, I ran just as fast as I could and waved that flag, was shooting all around me." He never got shot through World War II. Not one time. You know what? I just wish somebody here today would pick up the flag and follow. Woo! Glory to God. Somebody say, "I'll follow." Would you? Amen. Stand with us this morning. I just want to ask you to pray right there where you're at, and I'm going to turn it back to Brother Dean. I'd like for you to seriously say, "Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow these great men and women, these moms and dads that you, even if you're older, hear yourself, those old saints that you knew. Let's don't let the standard down now. Let's don't let the flag hit the ground. Oh, let's don't be ashamed of those old men and women. But let's go on. If they said hallelujah, don't make fun of them for saying hallelujah. They had the real thing. It might not have been hallelujah, but brother, they had the power of God in that hallelujah." Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's raise our hands one more time and worship.